We would like to welcome you to the August 14th meeting of the Savannah Historic District Board of Review. The purpose of this board is to promote the educational, cultural, economic, and general welfare of the city of Savannah. This board is appointed by City Council and is not affiliated with any profit or nonprofit organization. Preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards established in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance are the basis for evaluating the compatibility of changes in new development. The board cannot consider criteria not specifically identified within the ordinance. Items such as landscaping, parking availability, traffic noise, and impact on property values are not within the board's purview and cannot be a factor in the issuance or denial of a certificate of appropriateness. Similarly, personal preference will not be the basis for a decision. Signpostings. Members of the board receive packages containing applications in the week before the meeting and individually visit the sites of the projects. If a project is not properly posted, it is removed from the agenda and rescheduled. Were there any projects that were not properly posted this month? Hearing none, we will move on to the consent agenda. Oh, actually, we won't. There's nothing on the consent agenda this month. Moving on to the adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion for approval of today's agenda?
Houle, so moved.
Thank you, Mr. Houle. Is there a second?
Thompson, second.
Thompson, second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. That motion is approved. Moving on to the approval of minutes. The minutes from the July 10th meeting are attached to the agenda. Is there a motion for approval of those minutes?
Thompson, I move to approve the July 10th, 2024 Historic District Board of Review meeting minutes as presented.
Thank you for that thorough motion, Mr. Thompson. Is there a second?
Rowan, second.
Thank you, Ms. Rowan. We have a motion from Thompson and a second from Rowan. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. The motion to approve the minutes has been approved and passed. Items requested to be removed, there are none. We have four items that have been requested to be on the continued agenda. Is there a motion to continue the items on the continued agenda? Just for clarification, that's items 3 through 6.
Higgins, so moved.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins. Is there a second?
Houle, second.
Thank you, Mr. Houle. We have a motion from Higgins and a second from Houle. All those in favor?
Aye.
The motion to approve the continue agenda has been approved and is passed. No requests for extension this month, so we will move on to the regular agenda. Staff will present the application with a recommendation. The petitioner will then have the opportunity to respond to the recommendations. We ask that the petitioner limit their presentation to 10 minutes or less and only address the items identified as inconsistent with the ordinance and questions raised by this board. The public will then have the opportunity to comment, after which the petitioner may respond to public comment. The board will then go into board discussion, at which point no further testimony is received unless specifically requested of and granted by the chairwoman. We will structure board discussion by going around to each board member 2 times for comment. You do not have to provide comment if you do not have any. If you are joining us virtually for the first time, locate your control panel. Public that wishes to submit comment, use the raise your hand feature. I will be notified and I will call on you by name. You will submit your name for record and then you may comment, but we ask that you keep your comments to 3 minutes or less. All right, first item up on the regular agenda is the petition of 501 East Bay Street, file number 24-003804 COA for 501 East Bay Street, amendment to an existing COA. Ms. Rowan, will you just turn your mic off? Thanks. Okay, Jonathan, turning over to you.
All right. Thank you very much. Good afternoon. Good to see you all. As you noted, this is a request for an amendment to 21-000-257 COA for a proposed rooftop addition to the property at 501 East Bay Street. Tried to pull up the street view, but it's not there yet. But I'll just These were the photos that we took when we go out to check for the posting. This is new construction, actually just being construction is just wrapping up or has wrapped up very recently. These are two, what read as two separate structures. It's actually one development, two-story masonry buildings. I'm going to go back, if you bear with me, and go to the submittal packet. So the existing buildings have already been approved by you all, and as you can see in those photos, have been constructed. And the applicant provided us zoom out a little bit with a very nice middle packet. These are the two buildings right here, two stories in height. This was a vacant lot. Here's the corner right here, these two buildings. There is a staircase in between the two, and then there's actually a little wall here at the back where the buildings, I guess you could say, are connected. This is the north elevation on East Bay Street. Existing building that has already been approved by you all. This is the proposed rooftop addition. It would only be on that front building. It would not be on the rear building, which is closer to the residential community. Excuse me. I know the project architect is here who will walk you through this, but basically what it consists of is a covered porch area, a restroom, and then a storage closet for some activation of the rooftop space. And I'm going to guess, sorry, it keeps bringing me back here. But in terms of the staff review, excuse me. Overall, this is an as-of-right project in the sense that it is not requesting any variances for the proposed height, massing, et cetera. Again, I'll just walk you through here, give you an idea of what we're talking about. I know it's helpful to have what you saw before and what's being proposed now on the same page. So the image at the top, this is facing East Bay Street. This is what you all approved. This is the proposed elevation. I would note, elevation drawings tend to make things very flat, and I'll let the project architect walk you through this. But this proposed rooftop addition would be set back quite a bit from East Bay Street. So it's not in the same plane, obviously, as the front elevation. Then this is the side elevation facing west. And again, right here in the red box is the proposed rooftop addition. Again, it's on the front portion of this project facing onto East Bay. And then this is the view from the lane. Shouldn't say west elevation, I apologize, which again is showing the potential view. Overall, staff felt that the proposed scope of work met the standards. There were two issues that were raised that I know the project architect is going to address. We are recommending approval for the proposed amendment to 21000257 for rooftop addition at 501 East Bay Street with two conditions. The details for the proposed doors on that rooftop addition that I just showed you all were not provided. I know the project architect was going to walk you through this. And then during our pre-meeting, we just talked about that the definition of true stucco was recommended for approval by the Metropolitan Planning Commission yesterday. It still has to go to the City Council, which would allow it over frame construction, but presently it has to be masonry. I'll let the project architect describe how they're responding to this condition. I believe they're proposing now to have this little rooftop addition be made of brick, which would be in keeping with the building that you approved. So that's about it. I would note, given our discussion that we just had, we did receive, I believe, five or six letters, I mean, there were emails from members of the public raising concerns about this proposed rooftop addition. All of them were not related to the actual design or materiality. They were related to the proposed use or potential use. As we all know, that is not really within our purview. So that's not something that we address in our staff reports.
Thank you, Jonathan. And just for the record, all of the letters and emails that are submitted for public comment are part of the agenda and public record and can be found on the website. For those of you joining us virtually and wondering how you can access those, that's where you can find them. Are there any questions for staff? Mr. Houle?
I did have one question to kind of follow up with what you just said. So if we had a concern that the bathroom was going to be the first step toward a party room on the top of those two buildings, that is not within our purview.
Correct. We are, you know, it's not our personal opinion whether we like something or not. It's just we have to apply the standards, which is what our staff report is based on. But thank you, Mr. Hula.
And Jonathan, there were no sightline views provided. Is that correct?
No, I do not believe so.
Just as a note, yeah. for my thought, it would be very helpful on things like this if you could have sightline views so we would know what you would see from Bay Street.
Yep. That's a good point, Michael. And I'm sure the applicant can address, because I know he studied that closely. I don't want to speak for him.
Jonathan, could you look at the application? I believe the application had 12 or 14 different views from Bay Street and Price Street showing where it was visible from the street.
But none of them should render the addition. That was the problem.
It was in yellow.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought I was referring to drawings. Yes.
Yeah, you can see where the
yellow
proposed
lines.
Addition, those little yellow lines.
Yeah, there is a little, again, it's probably best if the architect walks you through that. Staff went out to the site numerous times, and it was our view that the visual impact would be very minimal given the sight lines.
Are there any additional questions for staff? Thank you, Jonathan.
Sure.
Would the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Okay. Hello, good afternoon. My name is Michael Garcia with LS3P. I'm representing the owner. I have an additional exhibit showing a change in materiality to the proposed addition, because we do understand, obviously, with true stucco definition currently, we're not allowed to do that over metal stud. But before that, just to address the concerns of visibility, these were the only visual impact studies that we had done regarding its presence along any street fronting facades. This is in a four-story height map zone, so we are still technically, even if it's counted as a third story, we're still under the fourth story, so within the purview, we are still able to provide it. Let me open. So I just wanted to quickly run through the proposed redesign. Essentially, it's going to be in the same shape and height and mass. The main change that we are going to be proposing is changing from a stucco finish to a brick finish. So the brick finish would end up matching the rest of the building itself. Located on the front mass of the building facing Bay Street, we are trying to push it as further away from the lane and the residential lane as possible. I can kind of walk you through. Sorry, this is a A little slow. So as you can see, we've already provided roof access from the stairway that's between both masses. That's not going to be changing. And we are placing the entire roof addition as part of the parapet assembly so that we are on zero lot line on both the internal property line here, and then we also have this other property line that's facing the lane as well. Go to the next page. So regarding the uses of the upstairs, there it is going to be a single-use toilet room, so one bathroom and then another room for storage. Like I said, we are placing two of the walls of the of this addition build out on our parapet, so it will be within the property line as well. And then the overhang structure is made out of wood columns and a wood and a roof edge that's gunmetal coping that's going to match the main building coping as well. And then this is the quick section just to highlight the kind of composition of it. So we would provide an L angle over the existing parapet so that is self-supported on that end, using metal stud on the interior so that we can provide actual framing for the bathroom and for the storage space. And then the porch overhang comes out. Overall, I think it's six. Yes. So we're about at a 12-foot overhang, including the 2'6" cantilever off of the main post there. And I just wanted to run through that with you guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Garcia.
And the, Jonathan just reminded me, not only about the use, but with the two doors, they would be just a hollow metal door assembly, so hollow metal door and frame. The paint would probably match the same gunmetal coping color that we're doing for the coping and for the roof as well. All right.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
I do have a question, if that's possible for the petitioner.
I was just about to ask that, but yes, go ahead.
We were moving on, and I didn't want to miss it. Are the stairs that are being provided for access, are those visible from the street, or is it an interior courtyard where you just can't see them?
They're within the property, so it's an interior courtyard.
You don't see them at all?
You do not see them.
Thank you.
Yes.
Are there any additional questions for the petitioner?
I have one, please. Could you maybe make this a little bit smaller, and could you, I just want to make sure I'm really clear. Could you show me from the property or from the building wall line where the building is for the enclosed structure and then also the end of the patio structure?
Yes. So,
I assume this is the north building on Bay Street.
Yeah. So Bay Street's facing right here, and then you have Price Street running on page right here. So you have, so then entry into this portion, this mass from the stairwell on the interior of the property is located right here. So this area right here coincides with this entry point right here. And then this is Price Street. This is Price Street.
And I understand from your drawings that it is visible from both Bay Street and Price Street.
Yeah, so if we go back to the I don't know where the right here, found it. Yeah, so it would be visible if you can see here. This is along Bay Street. You have the yellow line right here is the top of our roof line. And then the same thing here happening along Price Street. And just to restate, it is a four-story height map, so we are within the bounds of height.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Are there any additional questions for the petitioner? Thank you, Mr. Garcia.
Thank you.
Is there a member of the public that would like to comment? We ask that you keep your, come forward, sign in, state your name for the record, and keep your comments to 3 minutes or less. Nobody virtually either? Okay, thank you. At this time, we will enter into board discussion and no further comment will be accepted. I will start with you, Ms. Nagel.
Sorry, I have no further comment.
Mr. Becker.
I have two issues, and I brought them up, I think, or at least alluded to them in some of my questions, is that I'm really concerned about the size of this proposed addition onto the building. It is visible from both Bay Street and Price Street, which I think heightens, while visually being visually compatible is always important. There's a reason why when these patios and rooftops are approved, are in the ordinance, they're set back from the facade. And they're set back from the facade in order to limit or eliminate the vision, being able to see them from the street. And in this case, it's very clear that they're from the street. And if I could ask Jonathan, you had shown in our pre-meeting a Google map of the surrounding area. Yeah.
Yeah.
So without repeating the ordinance talks about being visually compatible. And if you look across the street, you see a framed home. Down the lane, you see on the left, you see another gray framed home. And then I think on the corner, there's another white framed home there. I think we'll be hard pressed to find any of these homes having patios, additions on the roof. And so I really question the fact that it not only is it visible from the street, but when you look at visual compatibility and being visually related to the surrounding area, three of the four most closest homes, I think we'd be hard pressed to say a rooftop patio is visually related to those homes. So I have concern about this.
Thank you, Mr. Becker. Ms. Rowan?
I agree with staff's recommendation to approve it.
Thank you, Ms. Rowan. Mr. Higgins?
No comment.
Mr. Thompson?
Well, my observation is this is sort of a weird appendage to the building, but and if they had come back with a third story, they probably wouldn't even be questioned because of the it's allowed in the, under the height map. So just that observation and no other comment.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Mr. Houle?
No comments.
I'll go around one more time, Ms. Nagel.
No further comment.
Mr. Becker?
No further comment.
Ms. Rowan?
No comment.
Mr. Higgins?
Comment.
Mr. Thompson?
I do support staff's recommendation, by the way.
Mr. Houle?
No further comments.
Thank you. At this time, I will entertain a motion. Mr. Houle, please make sure your mic is on.
Madam Chair?
Yes, sir.
I move that the Savannah Downtown Historic Board of Review approve the petition 24003804COA at 501 East Bay Street with the conditions as listed in the staff recommendation.
Thank you, Mr. Houle. The motion on the floor is to approve with the staff recommendations. Do I have a second?
Rowan, second.
Thank you, Ms. Rowan. Ms. Nagel, I'll start with you. How do you vote?
I approve.
Thank you, Ms. Nagel. Mr. Becker?
Nay.
Ms. Rowan?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Aye.
Mr. Thompson?
Yeah. Okay. Aye.
Mr. Houle?
Aye.
The ayes have it. 5-1. Sorry, I had to count this. That motion is approved. Next item up on the agenda is the petition of Kat Tremblay, file number 24-003776 COA for 323 East Jones Street, a gate.
All right. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the board. This is Caitlin Chamberlain presenting the request to approve the removal of an area of plywood infill to install an appropriate iron gate on the brick garden wall located at 323 East Jones Street. So the current configuration is what we see here. It's plywood all just kind of put together as a gate. The owner, I believe, purchased the property in this condition and would like to instead add something more appropriate, which are these existing iron gates. So 323 East Jones Street was built in 1853 and is a contributing resource for several years. This plywood has been installed over the gate opening, and they would just like to remove and install a wrought iron gate, which they've already acquired. Staff did not locate any photographs detailing what was in place prior to the plywood. But this existing plywood infill is not appropriate for the property. The proposed change to wrought iron gates is aligned with what may have been previously there and is not conjectural, as there are many examples in the downtown historic district with brick fences and wrought iron gates, such as the one that the applicant provided at a nearby property. So with that, staff is recommending approval to the removal of the plywood infill to replace with a wrought iron gate for the property at 323 East Jones Street as requested, because the project is visually compatible and meets the standards. Thank you.
Thank you, Caitlin. Are there any questions for staff?
I have one.
Mr. Houle?
Yes. Are there design standards that are appropriate to this particular design, that either you found the design acceptable or it screamed bloody murder or something?
We did use a lot of visual compatibility for this. There's nothing specifically about gates, but I also did use the fences and walls standards because, you know, it's connected to the brick garden wall. So we still said, because of that, it's still an acceptable material and it's still in scale with what's there, and it's certainly a vast improvement from the plywood. So hopefully that answers your question.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a quick question. I think it was mentioned in the pre-meeting. What color is it going to be? Or?
So the current gates, and from what we saw on site when we went to do the sign checks, it looks like it's painted and not rusted. It's just like painted a brick color. So we found that either that matches the brick, or if they wanted to paint it black, that either could be acceptable. But we would definitely be happy to get the confirmation from the applicant on which they want to go with.
Thank you. Are there any additional questions for staff? Okay, thank you, Caitlin. Would the petitioner please come forward? Just make sure you state your name for the record.
Good afternoon. I'm Kat Tremblay, 323 East John Street. I'm a little overwhelmed being here, I have to say. The project manager couldn't be, so he gave me a booklet, but I don't know if you need that. She did a great job in presenting and answer the question about the color. I hope to go with the Charleston green, which is the color of the doors. It's a black green.
But thank you, Ms. Tremblay.
Anything else?
Don't be intimidated. I promise we're mostly
easy
friendly.
Easy for you to say.
Are there any questions for the applicant? See, that wasn't so bad. Thank you, Ms. Tremblay.
Thank you.
Is there a member of the public that would like to comment? Nobody virtually? Okay, at this time we will enter into board discussion and no further comment will be accepted. Mr. Houle, I will start with you.
No comments.
Mr. Thompson?
No comments.
Mr. Higgins?
No comments.
Ms. Rowan?
I'm sure everyone knows, but Charleston green reads black until the sun hits it. It's just like a really dark green, but it looks black. So anyway, it's a beautiful color.
Thank you for that clarification, Mr. Becker.
No comment.
Ms. Nagel.
No comment.
Since there wasn't any on the first round, I will not go around again, and I will now entertain a motion.
Madam Chair.
Mr. Houle.
I move that the Savannah Downtown Historic Board of Review approved petition 003776 COA at 323 East Jones Street as requested because the project is visually compatible and meets the standards.
Thank you, Mr. Houle. The motion on the floor is to approve. Do I have a second?
Rowan, second.
Thank you, Ms. Rowan. Mr. Houle, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
Mr. Higgins?
Aye.
Ms. Rowan?
Aye.
Mr. Becker?
Aye.
Ms. Nagel?
Aye.
That is unanimously approved. Next item up on the agenda is the petition of Pantheon ADC. Oh, gosh, I'm going to butcher this name. Levante Decius, File number 24-003807 for 24 East Broughton Street, alterations.
Thank you. This is Caitlin again. The applicant is requesting approval to install a new door opening on the rear elevation of 24 East Broughton Street. This door is proposed in an area that appears to be infilled with non-historic material and would be consistent with other doors along East Congress Lane. So just give y'all some context here. This is what it currently looks like. This is right next door. Other similar doors. This is from the interior view, just kind of showing that there's been different brick infill over time. And we do know that there was a major renovation that took place in 2000, and they restuccoed the building. So it's likely from that time period that this was done. So there was an earlier COA that was granted. This was not applied for as an amendment, but it did include an additional door opening on the side of the building. However, there was a condition to downsize the opening to be more visually compatible with other doors on the lane. So just to kind of show a side-by-side comparison, this is what was originally presented with that earlier application, and then just kind of taking the previous conditions to note was instead of even putting it here, just to scale it down and make it more compatible with the other doors. Staff found the standards are met. There is photographic evidence that the building has been altered multiple times and new stucco was added. Additionally, from the interior, it's newer brick. The inclusion of an additional door that is proportional to other doors on the building and others on the lane will not negatively impact the historic character of the building, the majority of which is seen on the front elevation facing Broughton Street. And just to kind of go over the there's drawing of like present proposed design. And with that, staff recommends to approve the installation of a new door opening on the rear elevation of 24 East Broughton Street as requested because the proposed work is visually compatible and meets the standards. Thank you.
Thank you, Caitlin. Are there any questions for staff? Okay, thank you. Would the petitioner please come forward and just make sure you state your name for the record?
Good afternoon. Levante DeCius with Pantheon ADC. I'd like to thank staff for diligently reviewing our submission, and thank you all for being here. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Are there any questions for our petitioner? All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there a member of the public that would like to comment? Is there anyone virtually? You guys are letting us off easy this time. At this time, we will enter into board discussion and no further comment will be accepted. Ms. Nagel, I'll start with you.
No comment.
Mr. Becker?
I have no comments.
Ms. Rowan?
I agree with staff's recommendation to approve.
Thank you. Mr. Higgins?
Comments.
Mr. Thompson?
No comment.
Mr. Houle?
No comment.
All right, since there were no comments the first time around, I will not go around again, but I will entertain a motion.
Thompson, the Savannah Downtown Historic Preservation District approves the petition 24003807 COA at 24 East Broughton Street as recommended by staff.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. There's a motion to approve. Do I have a second?
Nagel, second.
Thank you, Ms. Nagel. A motion to approve from Thompson with a second from Nagel. Ms. Nagel, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Becker?
Aye.
Ms. Rowan?
Aye.
Mr. Higgins?
Aye.
Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
Mr. Houle?
Aye.
That petition is unanimously approved. Moving to the next item on the agenda. Is the petition of anonymous tattoo Richard McGee, file number 24-0003792 for 209 East River Street, 212 East Lower Factors Walks for illuminated sign.
As already stated, the applicant is requesting an illuminated sign at this property. The shop itself is on Lower Factor Walk, so it places the wall and not the river. The sign overall is about 1.7 square feet. It will be located in a window. The sign will be minimally visible, if at all, from most angles, with the exception of about one or two. Overall, staff did find that the sign met majority of the standards as well as visual compatibility. The only thing that it does not meet is the illumination standards. Keep in mind that in an earlier staff report, staff did say that it met illumination standards, but staff was notified earlier this week that we use the wrong standards, and actually in Factors Walk, illumination is not allowed for signs. So illuminated sign would not be allowed in this district. But other than that, it meets all the standards for signage. The applicant did provide staff with a presentation this morning, which staff handed out prior to the meeting, and they will be discussing that in just a couple minutes. So with that, staff recommends denial of the incidental sign at 212 East Factors Walk, so that's 209 East River Street, because the sign does not meet the standards for internal illumination due to the location of the sign within Factors Walk. Does the board have any questions?
Thank you, Kelly. Are there any questions for staff? Mr. Houle, I'll start with you.
I had one question, Kelly. On page 4 of your review, the one with all the big table on, you mentioned signs cannot be internally illuminated within the Factors Walk. However, external illumination can be approved. So there is an out for the owner?
Yeah, so if this assuming sign is denied, the applicant can come back with signage that has like exterior lights or something along that line. Again, if this one's not approved. Okay.
So they could amend their, well, if we deny the application, they have to come back and pay another fee?
Yeah, they technically would need to reapply for a different sign. So yes.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Thompson.
Kelly, if they took a card and put open and closed on opposite sides and they hung it on a string, would that be allowed in the Factors Walk?
We would need a little bit more information, but in theory, something like that could be approved. But again, we need to see the materials.
No lights, just, yeah, okay, thank you.
Are there additional questions for staff? Thank you, Kelly.
I believe the applicant is here as well.
All right, would the petitioner please come forward and make sure you state your name for the record?
Hi, I'm Vasella Veltchaven-McGee. The applicant is actually my husband, but I'm representing him on this issue. Our only issue, we reviewed the historic review sign ordinances very carefully before making this application. And we made this application on the basis that several things. So Anonymous Tattoo is a business that's been in operation in Savannah on 9 East Bay Street, practically catty corner from that location for 20 years. So this is a viable local business. We understand that Factors Walk is an area that the city has deemed as a priority area for cleaning up, revitalization. Lower Factors Walk, as you're well aware, is kind of dark a little bit at night. Could be, you know, it's not the most visible pedestrian location, and yet we're moving there because the building that we're currently located is for sale. We plan to maintain a very clean and welcoming area in front of the address location, but more importantly, in order for it to be clear that the business is open during the hours of operation from 12 to 8 p.m., we would like to have an open sign. And it needs to be illuminated in order for it to be visible from Upper Factors Walk. We also have noticed that there are numerous illuminated signs in the immediate vicinity, all on both sides of our business. And so we, after we received the information that this application was recommended to be denied, we went and took some photographic documentation of the surrounding businesses that all have
various colored and in various quality of illuminated signs, and we have those here today for you to just take into consideration before you make your final decision on this. So this is the, do you see what I see? Yes. So this open sign that you see is the one that we have currently at 9 East Bay Street, which we're just proposing to relocate to 212 East Factors Walk in that window that you see on the photograph there. So it would be a very small, and I think we've tried to show in Photoshop the scale of what the sign size would be. So it's fairly small, you know, it's not obtrusive in any way, and it would be turned off at 8 p.m. So we're not talking about, you know, shining on the street all night or anything like that. Additionally, the staff review issues associated with their ordinances have been deemed as appropriate. All of them, with the exception of this clause that Factors Walk does not allow illuminated signs, but considering the fact that there are numerous other illuminated signs, and here are some examples. This is the 100 block of Factors Walk. There's a cigar store with numerous various signs, not just open signs, but signs that say cigars and other things like that. This is the psychic on Lower Factors Walk is immediately next to where we're, you know, proposing to open the business. In fact, it's the building, so that sign is in the white building, and ours is the building next door, under kind of under those boardwalks or whatever you want to call those, so even less obtrusive, but that sign is very large and not just an open sign immediately next to us. And then there's signs like this is on the 300 block, ATMs, gift, kind of lopsided, not really. I mean, again, I'm not commenting on the quality of the signs, but the fact that they are illuminated signs. And so that's why we're here today, is to ask that we're allowed to put one illuminated open sign from 12 to 8 p.m. in the window of 212 East Lower Factors Walk. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. McGee. Are there questions for the petitioner?
I have one question. The ordinance is fairly clear, and despite the fact that there are violations down there, that's a code issue for the city, which I've probably been the most critical of about their imposing those. But the issue is pretty clear about illuminated signs not being permitted. In fact, Factors Walk internally illuminated signs. Would you be opposed to having a sign which is externally illuminated that would be permitted under the ordinance?
So just to understand, so does that mean, I'm not sure we've even really considered what that means. That means that there's external lighting shining upon a sign. Is that what it would mean? Like literally like lights shining onto?
I'm not the staff that would review this.
Okay.
But I guess my point is if you're open to it, I think it's would be appropriate to consider an alternate sign that would be permitted with staff and maybe continue this to allow you the opportunity to come up with a sign that would be permitted under the ordinance.
I wouldn't say that we're not open to it. It seems to me that it would be more obtrusive in a way, but that's for you guys to decide. Because an open sign that's essentially neon, which none of us like that word today, it sounds very 80s, but it is very visible, and it's only the letters that are visible, whereas an externally illuminated sign could be actually much nicer for us. But so, yeah, we are open to that. We would still like to have this sign that we already paid for and is nice and says open, considered. But that's up to you to decide. And if you deny this sign, then we will certainly come back with a petition for an externally illuminated sign.
Thank you, Ms. McGee. If you would like to speak, you have to step forward, state your name for the record.
State your name for the record.
Richard McGee. So for the externally illuminated, are you referring to neon specifically, or like she said, a sign that's mounted on the wall with lighting?
Yes.
You can't answer that.
It's difficult for me to sit here without looking at it.
Sure.
But I'm trying to find a solution.
Sure.
An option that fits the code.
Mm-hmm.
And get you what you want.
Yeah, I'm just curious whether that external illuminated was.
Yeah, and I think you know, what Mr. Becker is graciously allowing for here is suggesting that rather than a denial based on a sign that you're presenting today that does not meet the code and the ordinance, if we continue this and allow you to work with staff to find an externally lit sign that does meet the code, rather than deny and make you go back through the application process, we could review it again at the next meeting.
I think I'm comfortable with that. It's a great suggestion. Okay. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. Are there additional questions for the petitioner? Thank you, Ms. McGee. Is there a member of the public that would like to speak on this matter? Anyone virtually? Okay. At this time, we will enter into board discussion and no further comment will be accepted. Mr. Houle, I will start with you.
I appreciate and like Mr. Becker's idea of continuing this because it denying it means that they would have to come back and pay another fee, and I don't think that everybody is in a clear understanding, so a delay to allow a little bit more work would be a good idea.
Thank you, Mr. Houle. Mr. Thompson?
Yes, along that same line, I think it's to the applicant's interest to continue this instead of deny it and continue it with language to come back with a proposal that would meet the ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Mr. Becker, or I'm sorry, Mr. Higgins.
I concur with the two prior comments.
Ms. Rowan.
I agree with previous comments, and I commend the petitioner's willingness to work with staff to figure out a solution.
Thank you, Ms. Rowan. Mr. Becker.
I have nothing further to say.
Ms. Nagel.
I'd just like to say that regarding what you said, many of us really, it's not up to us whether we would – like, I would personally be like, yeah, sure, put up your sign. The problem is there's an ordinance. And so our job here is to enforce the ordinance, and that's why it's not really up to us. There is an ordinance that determines it. I think continuing it is a good idea because it just gives you an opportunity to find an alternative that does what you need, and you don't have to come back with a whole new application. But it's just there's an ordinance about it, and that's the best we can do. It really isn't up to the board.
Thank you, Ms. Nagel. I'll go around one more time, Mr. Becker.
No comment.
Goodness gracious, I'm going out of order. I just like saying your name today, I guess. I apologize. Mr. Houle.
You really calling on me?
I am.
No comment.
Mr. Thompson.
No further comments.
Mr. Higgins.
No comment.
Ms. Rowan.
No comment.
Ms. Nagel.
Actually, yes, I forgot one last part on that. The examples you give from all around are so understandable. The problem is we can't go by other violations, as Mr. Becker said, just because code compliance doesn't do their job. And if we do that, it opens a lot of avenues for other people to keep doing it. So if this were a visual compatibility issue, then you're totally visually compatible, but it's not. It's just an illuminated sign ordinance.
Thank you, Ms. Nagel. At this time, I will entertain a motion.
Let me look at this thing here. I move that the Savannah Downtown Historic Board of Review continue the petition number 003792COA. 212 East Lower Factors Walk for 30 days.
Thank you, Mr. Becker. There is a motion on the floor to continue the petition for 212 East Lower Factors Walk for a period of 30 days. Do I have a second?
Rowan, second.
Thank you, Ms. Rowan. Ms. Nagel, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Becker?
Aye.
Ms. Rowan?
Aye.
Mr. Higgins?
Aye.
Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
Mr. Houle?
Aye.
All right, the ayes have it. That petition is continued for 30 days. Next up on the agenda is the petition of Eli Lori, file number 24-003810, COA for 201 West Jones Street, an addition.
Kelly's going to be running the show here, but I just wanted, since it came up during our pre-meeting, and I believe Board Member Nagel made a point about how we handle public comment. We did receive considerable public comment on this project. Just so that the public knows, all the folks who submitted public comment, we responded directly to them. We also posted all of that public comment when we sent out the agendas. Final agenda was issued this morning. We received a total of, I believe, 19 letters. To summarize, I think it would be fair to say that 18 of them were in opposition. One was in support. The letters of opposition, although there were some comments that differed amongst those letters of opposition, the general summary was that the proposed scale massing was not visually compatible with the historic building at 201 West Jones Street, as well as some other concerns. So I'm just going to turn it over to Kelly now.
Thank you, Jonathan.
So again, the applicant is requesting approval to construct a rear addition and to make some minor alterations to the front stoop. As you all remember, this project has been in front of you all multiple times. It was first heard in March of this year. At the time, the applicant was requesting the construction of a rear addition, which saw the removal of some of this Barner Street wall, as well as some alterations to the main house, outbuilding, and privacy wall. Staff have recommended a continuance in that case to address some concerns and some questions. The board, however, voted to deny the request because they found that the project does not meet the visual compatibility standards. It's not appropriate in scale or massing and due to the proposed removal of historic fabric. In April of this year, the board considered a request to rescind the previous denial. The board decided to uphold the previous decision. Then in May this year, the applicant came back with this design for y'all's review. Staff recommended approval with no conditions, but again, the board voted to deny the project and found that the work is not visually compatible and does not meet the standards, specifically for those impacting historic features and seemingly not being reversible. In June, the project went in front of the city ZBA as an appeal on y'all's decision. The board found that the project be remanded back to the historic board of review for clarification, that they be more specific for the reasons for denial, and to give the applicant a chance to make modifications in order to resolve the visual compatibility problems. All the staff reports, all the minutes and all that have been linked in the staff report for y'all's review. The applicant has since come back with three proposed designs. One you see right here was what was approved in May. The remaining three are what are being proposed at this time. So option A, which is seen right here, is very similar to what was previously approved. Main change is this window facing Barnard is aligned with the lower window. Option B has a little bit less in terms of decoration. So instead of a double column, you have single columns. The shutters on the side are gone, and then this window right here is also aligned with the lower window. Option C has the greatest deviation, mainly in the form of the use of stucco instead of the clapboard siding. It should be worth noting that if the board chooses to go with option C, it appears that stucco is overframing. As was mentioned earlier, the council has yet to approve the text amendment. So if the board would go with this, the stucco would need to be over masonry So with that, staff found that all the designs met base standards, but found that option A was the most visually compatible of the three. There would be one condition on this project if the board were to go with staff review. All of the analysis is in the staff report as well. So with that, staff recommends approval of Stream A for the rear addition and minor alterations to the front stoop at 201 West Jones with the following condition, because the work is otherwise visually compatible. That's very minor alteration, a minor condition. So.
Thank you, Kelly. Just clarification, you all didn't approve anything, so the previous ones were denied.
Thank you, Kelly. Are there questions for staff?
Kelly, yeah. I have a question. What was the vote on the first and the second time this went against the board? Do you remember?
I don't need
I
to
could
go
look
back.
It up, but.
Yeah, okay. I know double check. I can't remember offhand.
Okay.
The second time it was 4-2.
Does anybody remember the first time? Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Are there any additional questions for staff? Okay. Thank you, Kelly.
The applicant is here.
Would the applicant please come forward and state your name for the record?
Good afternoon. My name is Eli Lurie. Again, I want to thank staff for helping us through this process. It's been a bit strenuous at times. And we've worked with HSF and staff and presented this multiple times, trying to be as collaborative as possible. This time around, we submitted three different iterations of this project to be as collaborative as possible, trying to change detailing, trying to change elements of this project to make it more palatable and in coherence with the ordinances to the board's liking, since it had already been recommended for approval. So this time, similar to what Kelly just said, a little bit bigger. This is the first iteration that we submitted last time. At this iteration, it was mentioned that the casement windows were brought up and the window on the Barnard Street side was brought up, not being aligned. So what we did was we aligned that window with the semi-historic window below, and we also changed those windows facing the courtyard to be double-hung windows. This is most in keeping with the original submittal. Here we have the delineation line where that semi-historic brick wall is, making it look like this area here was a infilled wood structure, and then all of this on the back was a two-story porch that was added at a separate time. The second iteration that we have done this time is just making it all look like it was one big infilled porch. This goes from having double pilasters in the three bays to now single pilasters. This maintains the casement windows facing the courtyard and has a double hung window that aligns with one below it on the Barnard Street side. The last iteration is making the addition out of stucco so that the building would be masonry on masonry, so that we're not trying to duplicate the brick that's there, but we can at least make it look like it was brick that had been covered with stucco at some point historically. This is the most streamlined version, the least amount of detailing, and this maintains those casement windows facing the back. With this type of project, any type of addition in the historic district would be covering historic material. So in this iteration, in all of these iterations, we are covering three historic openings on the courtyard side. But any addition would be covering historic material. And once that happens, yes, you lose jurisdiction of those materials, but that's an ordinance issue. That could be something that could be remedied in some kind of ordinance that at the final inspection, staff could come by, do a final inspection saying that, yes, all of those windows are still there. All of those materials are still on site. They're being stored properly. Those could be processes that could be approved and implemented to help remedy the situation, because any addition to a historic structure in downtown would be covering historic material by nature. That's what an addition does. It adds on to a historic structure. And so that's a very hard element to overcome with this project, because any addition's covering material. And once that's covered, there's no jurisdiction. That's any addition in the historic district would have to go through that same stipulation that I haven't seen previously implemented before. With this project, there are currently 20 historic openings that are windows. All of these window sashes were implemented in the 1970s when this house got a full renovation. This house previously was in very, very bad shape. And so all of the trims, there's no original plaster. There's really no original factors to this building other than the structure itself. And so there's 20 historic openings that were windows, and we would be potentially covering up 3 of those. I want to thank you guys for hearing this project out again. Do you have any questions for me?
Thank you, Mr. Laurie. Are there questions for the petitioner? Mr. Thompson, I'll start with you.
I seem to recall in the application you had numerous examples of a similar addition onto another building. Could you run through those and give your observations on it?
Yes, absolutely. So we went through the historic district and found a lot of similar examples of rear additions to these. All of these are corner lots or tithing lots. 108 East Jones has a very similar rear addition to the one that we initially proposed. So does 222 East Jones. That has a similar carriage house relationship with the main house, with the shuttered openings. 432 Abercorn had a similar clapboard-sided infill porch addition that was added to the back of it. 337 Tatnall, which was the most recent, that project, I believe, they dropped 2 sills and used the same verbiage that we did to retain those windows and brick material on site for future restoration. That one was a composite-sided or wood-sided addition. 124 West Gaston Street had one that was similar. That one didn't go up as high. 233 Abercorn Street had kind of this hodgepodge of different porch additions that had been added to it with casement and double hung windows. 23 East Gordon Street had a big porch addition in the back that was infilled. 337 Tatnall Street had a rather large stucco addition that went all the way up to the top. 23 West Gordon Street had a large addition added to it where several window openings were altered to become doorway openings. 301 East Harris Street, that one even continued the parapet wall horizontal line, whereas we're stepping ours down to the bottom of that corbelling that continues around the back of our property. 424 Barnard has a similar double height porch addition to the back. 101 East Oglethorpe infill porch. And most of these projects had before and after photos where they dropped sills that weren't historically lowered to accommodate these additions. And once these additions were built, there was no jurisdiction over those materials that were there, but we are open to having some kind of ordinance put in place for this project that it goes through some inspection by staff, by the board, by the city to make sure that we're abiding by the things that are in our drawings.
Thank you, Mr. Laurie. Are there additional questions for the petitioner?
I do have a question. So with the stucco option, if I understood correctly, mm-hmm. Kelly, it would apply, so they can't do the current proposed framing on the stucco. So that would have to be changed. So that is not an option that we can vote on unless the framing is changed.
And we are willing to change that to be a CMU structure.
Another question. Yes.
As it's currently in the ordinance.
Okay. So fair enough that we know that option has that. Are any of the examples you have shown within view of 201 West Jones Street? Can you see them from 201 West Jones Street or anywhere near?
337 Tatnall is close.
Within view.
I don't believe it's in view.
None of them are in view, I think.
I'm just checking really quick. None of them are in view of, but there are several on Jones on the on similar blocks.
Thank you.
Are there any additional questions for the applicant? Thank you, Mr. Lorry.
Thank you.
Is there a member of the public that would like to comment? Yes, sir. We ask that you just please come forward and state your name for the record.
I think you know me by now. My name is John Clemson with my wife, Cynthia. We're the owners of 201 West Jones Street. As you are aware, we are seeking approval for a small addition to the third floor of the property at the rear of the building. We have spent considerable time and effort designing an addition that meets the standards and guidelines established by the city in this ward through its design manual and the city's zoning ordinance, section 8-3030. As a preservation professional, I am well versed in the interpretation guidelines and their application. We have met and worked closely with HDBR staff who have recommended approval, as well as having had supportive discussions with Historic Savannah Foundation, who strongly support our design. As a preservation professional, I am bewildered that this board has contradicted the recommendations of its own professional staff. This lack of clarity to applicants seems profoundly unfair. I hope this argument will help sway the board's decision. I'm also bewildered by HDBR guidelines prohibition of any appeal for ruling of visual incompatibility. I don't understand how this could be legal, but it is the reason the ZBA remanded our case to this board. Our architect has striven to design an addition that preserves historic building fabric and is compatible with but differentiated from the existing structure as specified in the guidelines and Secretary of Interior standards for rehabilitation, and one which will allow us to make the third floor a functional space for our family to come and enjoy all that Savannah has to offer. We have been respectful of the process. We are strong supporters of historic preservation and the review and approval process. We have traveled to the hearings. We have made adjustments to the plans in order to try to gain approval. However, we have yet to have been provided with a clear description of the concrete changes needed to meet approval for the project outside of the subjective, quote unquote, visual compatibility concern. Based on our understanding of the guidelines and staff recommendations, we have met all the design standards and even provided you with alternative designs. This building has not been touched since 1973, so we are becoming increasingly concerned about the condition and ongoing deterioration. We respectfully request that you approve our proposal today so that we can proceed with the restoration of this house. If for some reason you cannot do that, please continue this hearing with specific guidance as to what is needed to be changed to gain approval. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Clemson. Is there another member of the public that wishes to speak on this? Just please state your name for the record.
Andrew Jones, Oglethorpe Plan Coalition. As you've seen, the public is against this proposal. You've received numerous letters, and those letters include nearby property owners who will have to look at this building. The DNA has also issued a letter. The DNA is opposed to this inappropriate addition. The Oglethorpe Plan Coalition agrees with your, I believe, up to three now prior denials of this inappropriate addition. You made clear, though, each time that the mass of the addition overwhelmed the existing building. And rather than scale back the mass, the applicant now, for the third time, I think, is bringing essentially the same proposal in of massing. There's tweaking to the details, But it's the same thing, just being brought back to you over and over to try to wear you down. As a matter of law, the ZBA does not have the authority to hear an appeal of visual compatibility, nor remand a decision on visual compatibility to you. To that extent, the ZBA decision is null and void, and this shouldn't even be before you today. And I would highly recommend that you consider continuing this and consulting with the city attorney, because this is quite an abuse of process. Other appeals in the past, for example, 336 Barnard, were denied as to their visual compatibility component. So the fact that this applicant has been given treatment that is not permitted under the ordinance is rather outrageous. Nonetheless, this proposed addition remains visually incompatible, especially with regard to mass. It is visually incompatible with the buildings to which it is visually related, which is the standard. As Ms. Nagel had pointed out, none of the buildings cited here fall under that definition. They weren't visually related because they weren't within view of the property. What is in view of the property is the building it's attached to and the building next door, and it overwhelms both of those. What we see here is the unfortunate effect of prior approvals of additions. By granting those approvals, you're forcing rational buyers of historic properties to apply for additions, thereby increasing the value of their investment, their square footage, at the expense of the preservation of protected original rear facades of contributing buildings. Please put an end to this degradation of the district's historic assets and reject this application for a third or, I guess, fourth time. It's also worth noting that this building was featured on page 52 of the National Park Service report as an example of the type of building form to be preserved. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Is there another member of the public that wishes to speak? Please come forward and state your name for the record.
Hi, everyone. My name is Caitlin Kane. I'm the interior designer on the project. Jonathan, would you mind pulling up the letter? I'm just going to skim through it briefly. I won't bore you with the whole thing, but I don't know that everyone had a chance to see it. Y'all can see that now? Okay, so just to start, I know that most of you don't know me, so I just wanted to make it clear that I am in full support of this process. I'm thrilled that a board like this exists. There's a reason that we all find Savannah so special, and we want to live here. So please just know that about me before we start. I did also include a list of the written ordinances that we've looked at backwards and forwards with the help of Jonathan, who's well experienced in all of this, and with HSF as well. Massing continues to be brought up. I do want to note we actually did shrink it down so that the original cornice will be visible after the first meeting with you. But I just want to share with you all, I don't know if we're all familiar with each of these ordinances, but we do meet the 75% ratio rule. There's no overage on lot coverage, and it's simply not a massing issue. I just want to say again how exceptional MPC staff and HSF has been to collaborate with us. And I just want you all to know, no one feels like we're trying to get anything over with this design or ask for anything unusual in any regard. We've spent a considerable time and effort trying to go through this process appropriately and to end up with something that's going to look beautiful on that block and just fit in with its surroundings. I personally, you know, want to request, we're thrilled with any approval that we can come away with today out of the options that Eli's kindly drawn up for us. The homeowners do love, was it option A? Is that correct? The option that we showed you last month. It's my belief, being that it fits all of these ordinances that we've shown, that HSF has emphasized to you, that MPC has emphasized to you. It's my belief that these property owners should get to move forward with the design that they love. I know that they would respect your freedom there as well. And then the other thing, sorry, I know I'm taking up a good bit of your time, so I'll kind of cruise through the rest of this. Something that I'm seeing, not just with this project, but oftentimes, unfortunately, listening into these meetings or coming before this board on projects that I'm involved with, unfortunately, it seems like for one reason or another, the goalpost is being moved and the rules are attempting to be changed in real time. I'm very pro freedom of speech. If anybody on this side of the room or that side of the room feels like an ordinance should be changed, then that's amazing. And we can all work to make those edits via the appropriate avenues. But in real time, at the expense of people who are trying to do the right things and who are trying to preserve these really special houses in a responsible way, it's not the time to pull, you know, the rug out from under them. And I would ask you just to, again, I can't remember verbatim, but Ms. Gwynn, you read it at the beginning of this meeting that y'all's duty on this board is to use the ordinances as the criteria for your decisions. So I just really want to encourage you to do just that.
Ms. Kane, please wrap up your comment.
Okay, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. There are other interested parties who I think are asking you to vote with your emotions and your feelings and your opinions on this property. And I just want to ask you to vote in fairness according to the rules and out of respect for the homeowner. So. Anyway, thank you. I did ramble. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Ms. Kane. Is there another member of the public that wishes to speak? Please state your name for the record.
Yes, ma'am. Ellie Isaacs, Director of Preservation for Historic Savannah Foundation. I have many things that I would like to say, but I'm going to do my best to be very short and brief with you because I feel like I've said those comments already in previous meetings. HSF thanks staff for their continuous work on this project and for the architect and his team for meeting with HSF staff and our ARC committee multiple times. We are again in full support of an addition being placed on the rear of this property, as that is the most appropriate place for an addition to be placed. And we are most in favor of Scheme A also, which is what staff also recommended. So that's all I'm going to say.
Thank you, Ms. Isaac. Is there another member of the public that wishes to speak? Do we have anyone virtually? Would the petitioner like to respond to public comment?
Let's see if I can pull up. So to find the right document, sorry. So I would just like to kind of hint at the fact that the back of this property, which is where additions are very commonplace in the downtown historic district, this property was one of them. This property had a rear addition that evolved over time. It started off with a wood frame infill rear porch that was then converted and enlarged to a masonry structure, and then it was enlarged again, and then it was enlarged again, and all of the Sanborn maps reflect that. The rear of this property, and same with the carriage house, they both evolved over time. Properties evolve. That's why this board exists. For properties to evolve in the best way possible, because they're going to evolve, they're going to change, they're going to have things altered. And so this property was one of them. The back of this property that faces the courtyard is not how it used to be. It is not the same as it was 100 years ago. This property has developed and changed and altered, and the rear of this property shows that. And so we're adding to that history in the best way we know how by doing an addition that reflects the history that was there already by continuing to keep that brick wall along Barnard Street, and then implements its own materiality that differs it from the existing structure and then the addition that was put onto it at a later point. but doesn't compete with it and doesn't try to pretend that it's historic and doesn't try to be anything that it's not. It's just an addition that was done at this period in time, whereas these other ones were additions that were done then with the best way that they knew how at the time as well. With that, I don't know if I can answer if there's any other questions, but.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
All right, at this time, we will enter into board discussion and no further public comment will be heard. Ms. Nagel, I'll start with you.
I think the issue, first, I'll just table the part of the historic components because I fully believe that the historic material would be saved. I have no doubt that the petitioner would do as they promised. So I'm going to just put aside the historic component of it. My biggest issue with this project is the visual compatibility aspect. Number one, yes, it's relative, but at the same time, it's not, because the visual compatibility has to do with surrounding properties. And there really isn't a surrounding property within sight that is like this one in the mass and the scale. I do see how all of those additions look similar. They do. And I do understand how properties need to change to accommodate plumbing and kitchens, things which we didn't have before in these homes in the 1850s. However, the problem is the mass and the scale in terms of visual compatibility. Visual compatibility has everything to do with mass and scale, because if you look around, things need to look the same, but they don't. None of the properties around it have this massive box behind it. Has it occurred elsewhere downtown? Yes, but not around it. So it can't be visual compatibility if it's not around it or visible from it. My next point is that of all the comparisons, none of them are equal in height and depth and width. So theirs has all the height, all the depth, all the width. All the others are either as wide, or they're tall, or they're chopped into a wedding cake situation, or they're sort of staggered. But none of them are this massive. It's the scale of the original home is almost doubled visually. So if you look at every single one of the examples, which I really did, it just does, they don't really compare. But also they can't be admissible because they're not visual. You don't see them from this property, or you don't see them while you're looking at this property. The last point I wanted to make was that this is nothing. This board is here making decisions based on things like ordinances and visual compatibility. There is absolutely nothing personal here. There's I agree that these houses need change. They need to accommodate modern things, kitchens. Nobody is debating that all of these houses, I would say most, have an addition. They do. And this house should have an addition. It just can't be of this mass and scale, because I believe it really alters the corridor of Barnard in that section. It is very visible. This home was in the NPI's handbook. It would be a shame to overlook all the visual compatibility factors that it does unfortunately violate. That is just my thought. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Nagel. Mr. Becker?
The applicant has come back with addressing really design characteristics and did not address what I've always felt was the largest problem of this, which is the size of the building or the proposed addition to the building and what it would represent. Again, if you just look at the code, you've asked for clarifications. It says the mass of the building and the additions need to be comparable with contributing buildings and structures to which they're visually related. If you just look at every single building next door across the street, you'll find that the building across next door, that the proposed building here will be approximately 130% of the size of 205 Jones. Look across the street, they're 44% bigger. You look across on Jones at one in the 100 block on the corners, they're 114% bigger. Now, my numbers may be off a little bit, but I'm using the county ordinances. But it demonstrates that the size of the proposed building, when it is done, not what the additional improvements have been approved in the past, are significantly larger and are not visually related or visually compatible to the buildings that which are contributing in this neighborhood. I just can't support this.
Thank you, Mr. Becker. Ms. Rowan?
I would like to commend the owner and the interior designer and the architect for working with, I think, several different bodies in the city to get this pushed forward. And I agree with staff's recommendation to approve it because they are within the percentage of an addition. And I think it's a beautiful design. And I want to encourage more people to move to Savannah and preserve our homes in such a way that these property owners are choosing to do and not just allowing the house to deteriorate and be an eyesore.
Thank you, Ms. Rowan. Mr. Higgins.
First, I want to say I totally agree with what Ms. Nagel and Mr. Becker have said, and I will not go back into that. I do take exception to the idea that if this is not approved, it will cause more deterioration to the building. That's not an issue here. As this building has evolved over the years, yes, there's been evolution to this property, but it's been, first of all, on the ground and first floor, and it's remained relatively minor in mass and scale. The increase that this addition has to the building creates huge, in my view, visual compatibility issues. They presented three designs, but all are within the same footprint, same mass, same scale, same, it's tweaking. This is simply not visually compatible and does not meet the standards in my view.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins. Mr. Thompson?
Yes, well, let me say I'm in support of staff recommendation and moving forward with this project. The, visual compatibility, I guess, is in the eye of the beholder because as I look, and I've been looking at Google Maps here, and I went out and looked at it, and there are a lot of buildings that are this mass. I mean, right across the street, there's a four-story solid brick home that is very massive, and a couple doors down, there's a building that sticks up actually in the sight of line of where this addition would be added. So the long and short of it is I think the applicants have been dragged through this pretty far to the point where I think this is the second time staff recommended approval, and I'm endorsing the staff recommendation.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Mr. Houle?
Certainly glad that I'm the last one to comment on this one. I have felt that this project has scale issues. On the other hand, the work that's been done, the amount of comparison with other houses in the same neighborhood and maybe even a few blocks away, has pushed me to the position that I think that the approving scheme A seems to be the way to move forward on this.
Thank you, Mr. Houle. I'll add my comments just to put it in for discussion since it seems we will have a split decision. I commend the applicant for being patient with the process. I think you've identified to this board some of the issues that we have with our own process, and we will work on that. And I apologize that you had to be the one to test them for us. As far as the scope and purview of this board, I think staff did a great and thorough review. I have no doubt that this project meets the standards in accordance with the Secretary of Interior standards, which are the guidelines that we are supposed to use for evaluating new construction addition and changes within the historic district. I also believe that this proposed project fits within the City of Savannah ordinances as outlined, I think, The point that we are debating and that has caused this to be denied, reviewed, and back to us is visual compatibility, which of course is subjective. I think we all have a unique way of looking at buildings and interpreting the rhythm of the street, the context of the building and how they fit in. I appreciate my fellow board members' comments about context and visual compatibility with visually related structures. I would also just like to point out that it seems like the scale unmassing is the main point of contention that is causing the issue. And this addition is building upon massing that already exists. So it's not pushing out the building footprint and going up. It's the building footprint is already out and this is just going up. So for me, I think, you know, first and foremost, checks all the boxes about the standards being met. Does it comply with the City of Savannah ordinances? Yes, it does. Is it respectful of the context and the rhythm of the street? I believe that it is. And so those are my thoughts on it, but I'll go back around to you, Ms. Nagel.
I just wish to reiterate for the sake of future decisions that visual compatibility is everything to do with context. And if there isn't a single property that is a comp on an addition like this that is within view of the property, we have to remember that because it'll come back to haunt us. Then we can't say that it is visually compatible fully according to the ordinance. So it does not meet the standards. And if we don't stick to the standards, then it becomes very wishy-washy and visual compatibility carries a huge weight within our purview. And if we don't sort of stick within the rules of that, and what the standard says, then it becomes super hard going forward with other properties. Just like to remind the board of that.
Thank you, Ms. Nagel. Mr. Becker?
Let me just comment again. There's been a couple comments about visual compatibility being subjective. That's why I tried to add context to it using actual numbers. There are simply too many buildings that are much smaller than this proposed building. It is not visually related as supported by the county records that the proposed structure will be dwarf the buildings that are around it. And that is a fact. And I just don't see how any we could say that this is visually related given the size differences between this building, which is a fact, and the county records, which show the other buildings what their sizes are. It's just a fact.
Thank you, Mr. Becker. Ms. Rowan?
I agree with staff's recommendations to approve this project.
Thank you, Ms. Rowan. Mr. Higgins?
Again, I echo what Mr. Becker just said. I wish this was entirely formulaic, but it's not. As far as this meeting, the standards, it clearly does not on several issues. But character defining features, loss of historic fabric, all of that, it comes down bottom line to, yes, visual compatibility. It is simply not visually compatible. What the effect of the approval of this may and will have on other projects becomes a huge issue. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins. Mr. Thompson?
My previous comments had repeat them by just saying I made them. I do have to weigh in. I forget who said it. It might have been Melissa about, supporting economic development and preservation through improvements like this. And I'm sure there's other improvements being made to this building at the same time. So, again, I'm supportive of staff recommendation for Scheme A.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Mr. Higgins? Oops, sorry, Mr. Houle. I didn't eat my Wheaties this morning. I apologize.
Well, we are all mixed up on the board, on the placement, so maybe that's what it is. Other than that, I have no other comments.
Thank you. I have nothing further to add either. So at this time, I will close board discussion and entertain a motion.
Rowan, I move that the Downtown Historic Board of Review approve the petition 24003810 COA 201 West Jones Street, provided that the one condition is met.
There's a motion on the floor from Ms. Rowan to approve the petition with the noted staff condition. Do I have a second?
Thompson, second.
We have a second from Mr. Thompson. Ms. Nagel, how do you vote?
Nay.
Mr. Becker?
Nay.
Ms. Rowan?
Aye.
Mr. Higgins?
Nay.
Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
Mr. Houle?
Aye.
And since it's a tie, I'll vote and I'm an aye. So that motion is approved. That concludes the regular agenda. We will move on to the approved staff review. There are a number of items number 12 through 25, that have been included in our packet and posted online. We have a vote for acknowledgement. All those in favor of the staff reviews as submitted, say aye. All right, those are acknowledged. Work performed without a certificate. There is a report of work that has begun without a certificate of appropriateness or which deviates from the prior approval. I'll have a vote of acknowledgement for that report. All those in favor? Do we have anything deferred to staff? I don't see any. Nothing this month deferred to staff. Notices and proclamations. There's a stamp drawing report. Inspections completed by staff. Other business. Is there anything that needs to be discussed today? Sorry, Melanie, did you have something?
Thank you. Did you all talk about the two new board appointments?
We heard that there was one and one that was appointed but didn't realize he was being appointed and had refused.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that you knew what was going on.
So does that – how many – since we have one, are there still two open seats, or that leaves one remaining open seat?
No, that means that the person that is refusing the appointment, they've got to get the letter to the clerk. They've already talked with the mayor, so there's one open seat, and they're going to take that up at their next meeting. I've urged them to just try to get this board filled so that we don't have to worry about not having, you know, a quorum, especially, you know, at times when people need to travel and things. So that should come up at the next meeting.
Okay, and the new board member will join us at the next meeting?
They should. One of the things that I think the city, at least in the past, they're waiting on the clerk to send them their letter to join. But they should be joining you at the next meeting, absolutely. And that'll give us an opportunity to train them, at least let them know what the process is and things of that nature one-on-one before they start the next meeting.
Okay. While I have you, I know that you gave us a copy of the memo sent over to the city on our curb cut that we were kind of still waiting on a response from. My understanding is the city did respond to our memo. I haven't seen anything, so I wanted to either confirm or go back, be able to go back to them to say that we still have not received that.
I was going to say, we do have, do you want to come up?
Yes.
Okay, great. We do have someone here, from the city that could, you know, provide some additional comment. The other thing that I wanted to make sure, we sent out a couple of dates with regards to getting some additional training. So we want to make sure that, you've looked at your calendar and, have talked with the, other members about some dates so that we can set that up for you.
Were there specific dates that were sent?
Go ahead.
Yeah. As per our discussion before, we're going to be back to you with some options, and it sounded like your generally what everybody was saying was you'd prefer to do it the morning of the meeting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So just to make, because of trying to coordinate with all your schedules.
Yeah, and I was waiting to hear back with regards to whether I know I spoke with Jonathan earlier this week about whether you'd heard back with regards to what your preferences would be for that training so that we could get it set up. So if that's what the preference is for the board, then that's fine. I will urge you, though, when we set it up, please participate, because it is very expensive for us to do this training. So we need to make sure that we've got a commitment from everybody to participate. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Jessica Baldwin, City of Savannah. We are working on a memo for curb cuts. We are just sending it through traffic engineering to make sure they're cool with everything and all our I's are dotted and T's are crossed before we hand that off to you guys for your general enjoyment, I guess, of curb cuts. I don't know, you know.
Great. Thank you.
No problem.
It's very nice to meet you, Jessica, and welcome aboard.
So with that said, I was going to say I haven't received anything from them. So now we know why I haven't received anything back from them. Thank you.
Thank you.
And the last thing I would just note, for work performed without a certificate of appropriateness, we're talking with the city about how, I think we mentioned this to you at the last meeting, putting a much shorter time frame for people to do it, because as you know, if somebody does work without a COA and then they come back and apply for a COA to address that work, they have 2 years to get it done, which is a very long time. And it often falls through the cracks because often those buildings are being sold. So there's got to be a way. Kelly comes to us from Nashville, Tennessee, where there was a very short window where people had to correct the work that they had done. So that will be coming to you.
Great. I appreciate the follow-up on those issues. Was there any other business to be discussed? All right. I will entertain a motion to adjourn. All those in favor, we are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you for your time, as always.